Amen. Thank you, Braden. Appreciate that. And Brother Wonger, I thank you for being here. Miss Michelle, we're certainly glad about that. I'd like to preach for a little while about missions. We're taking just a slight break from Colossians. We'll also take a break next week because we'll have that testimony service. And so I want you to look at Titus chapter number 1, if you would. And I'd like to not do harm to the scripture, but apply it in such a way that would lean toward missions, because in this passage, Paul is used of God to write to Titus, this young preacher boy that he's leaving in Crete. As he leaves him in Crete, he tells him some of the things that he wants him to do. And I just wanted to go over a few of those, and trust will be a blessing, because many of our missionaries, now this good family that's with us tonight, they'll be leaving again and getting back over there as soon as they get there. Not as soon, but soon thereafter, they're going to move to a different area. It's a little safer. It lets the ministry go forward. They're going to be involved in church planting there. And then, of course, continue with the translation work. And so you think about this. I've moved a time or two, but I've always moved from the good old United States of America to another place in the good old United States of America. And so we've taken so many things for granted. We know how you set up the utilities just a little bit different maybe than in another municipality, but by and large, it's all the same. But here folks go to another foreign country, and it's not a different state, it's a foreign country. Things are done differently. You have to figure out what you can do, what you can't do. And so I trust that the Lord would bless this couple as they go back, but then also others as they come through. And speaking of getting back from another country, it's good to have Brother Butch Abbott and Miss Margie. And they were up in Quebec ministering there, filling in for a missionary that had to come out for a little while. And so we're certainly thankful that they are back. And they passed us up on the way back and went to Virginia for a wedding. I told them they just shot right past Tennessee and then didn't stop quick enough. They'd had a lot of momentum built up, 3,500 miles, so the car wouldn't stop. It just went on going, kept on going, but it's good to have them back, and we're certainly thankful for that. Well, why don't you look at Titus chapter 1. The Bible says that to this young preacher, this minister, for this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting. There's a lot of things that weren't right, that they weren't there. And so Paul says, I left you there, boy, to get these things straightened up. And ordain elders, supposed to put in the leadership in every city, as I had appointed thee. You can imagine, as I told you before we left. And if any be blameless, the husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of riot or unruly. That goes on to say some of the qualifications of the bishop of the leadership there. Why don't you look down at verse number 10, if you would. For there are many unruly. Now, this isn't talking about the leadership. This is talking about the people in that area where he's going to be ministering to. There are many unruly. There are vain talkers. They're deceivers. Especially, they of the circumcision, meaning the Jewish people that are there, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not for filthy lucre's sake. One of them, even a prophet of their own, said the Cretans are always liars and evil beasts, slow bellies, gluttons, basically. This witness is true. Wherefore, rebuke them sharply that they may be sound in the faith, not giving heed to Jewish fables and the commandments of men that turn from the truth. So I want to stop there and want to preach for just a little bit about what these missionaries do as they go, because the apostle's leaving Titus there and he's saying, listen, I left you there to do a few things, and I hope that you will understand, maybe like an evangelist that goes into a town and they're sending that evangelist a couple weeks before. I think that a week from this Saturday, they're setting up the big tent up in Bristol. If you're interested in helping out, that's going to be set up at right by the cross at Victory Independent Baptist Church. If you'd like to help with that, we've got some information about it. But like an evangelist would send a front man in to get things prepared and get things set up, and because that evangelist is coming through, and he's going to be coming and going and blowing and blow in, blow up, blow out. And so that guy beforehand gets everything taken care of. Nowadays, they would get the electricity on. Back in the old days, he wouldn't have done that. So as that front man comes in, he gets all of these things that maybe the evangelist doesn't even know what's going on, but he had to have somebody that would do it. And so we see that in that backwards order, Paul leaves Titus here and he says, I left you there in Crete to get a hold of these things and fix what needs to be fixed, the things that are wanting. So number one, these missionaries, they must, it's not here in the scriptures, but they have to, they do a lot of the ordinary. They do a lot of the things that they had to do here. They do a lot of the things that we do here in our way, set in order the things that are lacking. This, of course, was meant for a church. Titus, there's a lot of things that need to be put into place, so put them into place. But he had to do some of the things for his ordinary self as well. I'm thinking about our missionaries as they go through. Summer, as she goes to Botswana, she'll have to set up all of these things. And thankfully, she has the benefit of some friends over there that they'll hopefully pave the way. But she's got to set up different things. A missionary goes into a foreign country. They have to establish utilities. They have to figure out how to get medicine when they get sick. Where's there a clinic at? Or how good's the clinic? Or how can I do this, that, and the other? How do I mail stuff back to the States if I want to get some things that are over there? How do I get documents signed? We're in an age when things have to be signed, or at least docu-signed, and they have to be verified. Where can I get my American food? How far do I have to go to get to a hot dog? That's all beef, nothing else. You wonder how they got that name for a hot dog, but I don't even want to know. I'm just thinking, I want an all beef hot dog. You want to know where you can go get that. So I'm saying that a missionary has to set up all the things. They had to do a lot of normal stuff. There's a doctor where if they have a plumbing need, is there going to be somebody that can help with that? All of these things in verse number 5, he sees they set up the ordinary. Sometimes I think missionaries get the wrong idea, or people get the wrong idea about missionaries, and that is that they just put them in a box, fold them up, and get them out there, and then when they're there over ministering for the weekend, you just open up the box, there they are. They're like a ready-made little person. Well, they're going to have just the exact same needs over there as they have here. And so I think that we sometimes don't think through for our missionaries enough how much they go through. Because they are in need of things every day of the week. Their food, their clothing, the shelter, all the things that we need, they need the same thing. So I'm thinking about this. He said, Titus, I've left you there. Now there's a lot of things in verse number 5 that are wanting. Not only that, we see in verse number 10 where I had you read, not only do they have to set up a lot of the ordinary things, but they've got to be ready for a lot of craziness. You say craziness, yeah. Us Americans, we're not the only crazy ones. There's a lot of crazy people all around the world. For there are many unruly, verse number 10, vain talkers, deceivers, especially they of the circumcision. They've got mouths that must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things they ought not for filthy lucre's sake. So not only do they have to set up a lot of the ordinary things, they also have to get ready for the craziness. In verse number 12, there's even a prophet that said they're always liars, they're evil, they're slow bellies, they're all of these things. And so they have to deal with a lot of unfortunate things. We see people around here. There was someone around the church the other day, had all kinds of bags, and he was walking funny, and he was either inebriated or just had some other issues. And so you feel bad for the person, and we are able to help folks as we can anyway, sometimes when they come through. But you know, our country is not the only one that have people addicted to different substances and things like that. In some places, it's much even worse. And so you're going to have to deal with things like that. The missionaries are in another country. We, again, have a little bit more of what protocol is here. Well, here's how we can help. We can do this, this, and this. But our missionaries, they have to get their bearings on what even is acceptable over there. They don't need to put themselves in harm's way trying to be a good blessing, but it could be very dangerous for them. And then you just have the people who they're not crazy or strange because of some substance. They're just crazy because they're crazy. You know that person? Say, know him. I'm looking at him right now. No, I don't. Let's not call names. A friend of ours, Amy, a friend of Amy and I, she said, well, yeah, our church is like a can of mixed nuts. They're just all in there. I said, well, bless your heart. Thank you. Appreciate that. But you understand that they have to be ready for all the craziness. They have to be ready for all the foolishness. They had to get ready for that. People call here to our church. Hey, somebody did something and we want you to fix it. I don't even know who somebody you are, and I don't know what the something they did. Yeah, I know, but you should fix it. People will call and say, well, somebody walked through your property and got over to our property, so what did you let them do that for? I said, well, we don't have armed guards out there all the time, not 24/7. And so somebody's going to do the same thing to our missionaries. They're going to have to face some of these different things. It says there are many unruly and vain talkers, the deceivers. There's all of these things, so the craziness has to be dealt with by them just as well as it is here. But then I want you to look down in chapter 2, as we begin in the next chapter, verse number 1. And here's what I want to give you, that in all of these things, the missionaries had to do a lot of ordinary stuff. My hat goes off to every single one of them. All the things they have to get established, all the things they have to get started, all of the processes that have to be begun, and then all of the craziness that they have to deal with. But in verse number 1 of chapter 2, Titus is told what he's supposed to do, what he's there for. but speak thou the things which become or suitable to or agreement with sound doctrine. So it boils down to, what are they there for? They're not there to establish their not be able to handle another culture. They're there for the doctrine. Brother Graham, coming back from Brazil after all these decades, he was there, and he had all of these things that happened to him. He had the strangers, and he had the people that were weird, and he had all of the things. You say, did he tell you that? No, but I know people are people everywhere. If they're here that way in America, they're there that way in Brazil. And he had all those things, but what he had to bring himself back to again and again, why am I here? I'm here to speak those things which pertain unto or become sound doctrine. And so these missionaries need to make sure that it boils down to the Bible. In verse number 2, they're supposed to grab the older men and take them and train the ones that are old and aged, that they're sober and grave, and that they may teach the younger and the women also the same way. And so with all of the craziness and the lunacy that goes on in America or some foreign country that a missionary goes to, it still boils down to they take the book and they teach it to people, and then those that are already saved and already living for the Lord and are older and established in the faith, you get them along around with somebody who isn't and doesn't know the basics of the Christian life, and you get them to teach it, that the aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becoming holiness, not false accusers, not given to wine, teachers of good things, that they may be able to teach the young women to be sober, and all of the things that go on from there. And so I'm saying this evening that these missionaries that we get the chance to send out, they're going to go do much of the ordinary things that you and I do. Their crazy level might be beefed up a little bit even from ours. But regardless of what happens or doesn't happen, they'd still get down to business, and that is the doctrine of the Word of God. And that, I believe, is going to be the difficult thing for many of them, because there is so much craziness. You think it's hard to get sidetracked here in the States? Well, it's going to be easy to get sidetracked over there just the same. You say, oh no, they're on a mission from God. Well, we're supposed to be as well. Oh no, they're single-minded, just getting the gospel of the people in that area. That's what we're supposed to be doing as well. The Satan is, he's not tempting just Americans to get our minds off the things of God. He's tempting all the other people as well. And so we see that whether they go into the sports leagues or crusades or outdoor meetings or friend days or gospel witnesses or evangelism and all of these things, be it here or be it there, they need to be gospel proclaimers. So what's a missionary do? Well, verse number 5 says he's got to do a lot of ordinary stuff. He said, I left you there in Crete to get the things set up like they're supposed to, the things that are wanting. Get ready for the onslaught of strange and wicked things, because the devil will fight, but then constantly come back to center. Come back to center, that we preach the things, we speak the things that become sound doctrine. They've got to teach the Bible. That's why they're going. And if they're going to go, then we want to do the same thing here. So what do missionaries do? Well, this is not a typical missionary, as Paul left Titus there in Crete, but the same would hold true for a missionary as he's gone or left or going to a foreign field. And I just want to bring us face to face with this so that we might think a little bit more about our missionaries as they're going out. Let's not be naive into thinking that it's going to be easy to set things up. It's not. You've moved before. Almost everybody in this room has moved. But most of the time, like I said, we move in the States. We transfer our, especially sometimes we move in the same county. You transfer your service from here to there. I have a 615 area code phone number, so I haven't changed it for years because I maintained it from when we lived in the Nashville area. So it's one thing to move, but say, I'll just keep my own phone number. You don't do that when you move to a foreign country. And I just felt led to just share a few things in my heart that our missionaries, they are wonderful blessings. What they go through, and then they keep on coming back with all of that distraction, with all of that trouble, all of that craziness, they keep on coming back to center the doctrine of the Word of God. Why am I here? To get the message of Jesus Christ out. Father, bless us now is our prayer. Thank you for bringing Wong Rai and Miss Michelle here with us tonight. And Lord, I pray as they get back, they're a little different, I suppose, because they've already been there. I realize that. But Lord, we have Maddie with us tonight. We have Summer with us tonight. Lord, we have Brother Graham with us tonight as he so faithfully served you in all of these areas. And Lord, I just pray that you would help us as a group be more aware of what our missionaries are going through, and may we be more quick to pray, dear Lord. May we be more sympathetic to what they're going through. May we realize that the struggles we have on a daily basis, they're having struggles as well. And dear Lord, I pray that you would bring them often to our hearts so that we might pray again and again. And we'll thank you for it all in Jesus' name. If you're able to, would you stand as the ladies play something through? And as they start to pray here, play here just a moment, then if God speaks your heart, I invite you to come. Maybe you want to come pray for one of our missionaries specifically. Maybe you want to come and pray for Wongrai and Michelle. Maybe you want to pray for there in your seat. Pray for Summer. Pray for Maddie. Pray that the Lord would hasten Maddie's meetings. The Lord would strengthen her as she travels. The Lord would help Summer as she's closing up a lot of these chapters that need to be buttoned up before she gets that container loaded and gets on over to Botswana. Pray here for Wongrai and Michelle that the Lord would provide all the funds they need for this translation work. Can you imagine the thrill of getting to present a New Testament and then here in just a year or two, a whole Bible to people in their own language for the first time? Maybe there's some other need on your heart tonight. Maybe you're here and you're not sure that you're even saved. You've come in amongst us and maybe you're a member, I don't know, but you're not sure about salvation and you've been feeling that knock on your heart's door. Would you step out and come and let me or someone take a Bible and show you how to be sure of that? As they just play one more verse, you finish up praying. Pray for this missionary couple that's here tonight. Pray for Summer. Pray for Manny. Pray for Brother Graham as he's getting his house established. Well, it's a joy to be here tonight, and I'm going to ask our new friends, if you don't mind, to slip back to the back. And John, if you want to take them back that way, please, if you would. And they'll be back by their table, and I trust that you'll get a prayer card from them, learn a little bit more about the work that's going on over there and that God has raised them up for. And then I want you to be a blessing to them as well as you head out and just encourage them along the way. But thank you once again for being here tonight. And I don't think there's any... Mothers, don't forget, Mother's Day is coming up. If you get somebody in church with you, twist their arm, do whatever you got to do, get them here. We'd love to have them here. We'll have a special gift for all ladies 18 and above. We'll have a good time together in the house of the Lord. And I believe Brother Kerry Abbott will be with us. He'll be over teaching the victory class, the Sunday school class over there. And we'll have a good time with him. And so we're looking forward to all that. Thank you for being in church tonight. God bless you. You're dismissed.